You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio on WTMR 800, Camden, Philadelphia.
Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. Dear brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit is with you.
Hi, I'm Kathleen McCarthy, and you're listening to What the World Needs Now, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. I invite you to join me in this hour of God's healing power. Call and join us in conversation and prayer. Remember, what the world needs now is God, and God is love.
And welcome to What the World Needs Now. This is your host, Ken Johnston, and it's my pleasure and a privilege to be with you again on this Wednesday afternoon. And I want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners and all that you do for us here at In His Sign. It must be the first Wednesday in November because I'm joined today by author and devotee to the Holy Souls, Susan Tassone. Welcome to the show, Susan. It's great to have you back again.
Ken, I couldn't have wanted to be with you more than anything because it's the month of the soul. So happy All Souls Month, I should say, because it's not just All Souls Day that many souls were released, but we've got the whole month to get them home for Christmas, because actually the greatest number of souls are released at Christmas, not All Souls Day. So All Souls Day was just the kickoff, Ken.
Amen. I have two of your books in front of me that I picked up after we've had you on in the past, The Rosary for the Holy Souls in Purgatory.
Oh, yeah.
And Day by Day for the Holy Souls in Purgatory.
Most popular. They've sold like about 45,000 of that book. It just has everything you want to know about purgatory from every angle that you can think of. If you like stories, there's stories. If you learn better from encyclicals, they have encyclicals. If you like to hear from the saints, they're the saints. If you want to hear what theologians have to say, so it just covers the gamut, Ken. It's just one of the most popular books.
Yeah, and just from having you, I think the last 2 years now we've had you on in November
to
talk about these things. So, it's. You've turned me into a devotee. I know you're involved with the Marians of the Immaculate Conception and the Holy Souls.
With Faustina's relationship to the souls. Yeah, we actually did, since I spoke to you, we did 6 books. We did 2 more during COVID. I don't know if you have Jesus Speaks to Faustina and You. Do you have that one, Ken?
I have Jesus Speaks to Faustina, but I think it's the one for Lent.
That's their one for Lent, yeah, Praying with Jesus, and then Jesus Speaks to Faustina and You actually just won first place from the Catholic Media Association, and the competition is just huge from the United States and Canada, so we were just delighted. So that book is just another popular book about what he spoke to Faustina about how to live, and he was actually speaking to us as well. And then you have the Lenten book, Praying with Jesus and Faustina during Lent and in times of suffering. I did in times of suffering because I actually ended up doing it during COVID, Ken, while we were locked down, because I had to address what was going on and how she handled suffering and what Jesus told her. So the two great works on Faustina.
Yeah. And,
but by the way, we do have a purgatory book. That's how I got involved with Faustina. She, you know, they wanted me to, you know, capture everything she said about the souls and her relationship with the souls. So praying with Faustina, a prayer book for Faustina and the Holy Souls, St. Faustina prayer book for the Holy Souls is out there that covers everything from the diary and her relationship and what they told her and what they needed, and her visits to purgatory with her guardian angel. It's a great book.
Yeah. And where does people pick them up?
Anywhere. I would always say, though, Ken, go to your local bookstore, you know, especially during these times.
Yep.
They need your patronage and your support. And if there's not, I would definitely go to EWTN because the shipping is a lot less expensive, too. But,
yeah,
of course, and you want to support, you know, you want to support them. You want to support our ministries, our apostolates first. That's what I say.
Yeah, I agree. We have the local Catholic stores here, like Catholic shops here in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. So, yeah, for our listeners, if they don't have it in stock, I'm sure they can get it for you.
Yeah, they can.
Yep.
You know, our Sunday visitor and Sophia all the purgatory books are by our Sunday visitor, and then the last, three out of the six of the Faustina books are still our Sunday visitor, and then the last three are with Sophia Press. And I think, there might even be a discount with our Sunday visitor right now. So now's the time.
There you go, especially in this month in November.
Now's the time, as you know, with all the shipping problems and books sitting, offshore. You know, get them now, as everybody is saying. You know, do your shopping now.
Amen. Amen. So I know this is a special month for you. You've already, alluded to the fact that we have the whole month of November to pray for the Holy Souls. And I was, you mentioned Faustina, and I just helped a couple groups go through the consecration to St. Joseph, and we were talking about the Holy Souls as part of that as well.
And
St. Joseph's... of course, the patron of the dying, but the dependency that the Holy Souls have on Joseph as well.
Yes, he is the patron. In fact, I mean, I'll have to email this to you, too. We were talking about some guests. The Pious Union St. Joseph is a biggie, a hidden treasure that people don't know about in Grass Lake, Michigan, where you sign up to pray for the dying every day, a very short prayer, and in return, you'll get the grace of a happy death. What is that? It's not to die in the state of Illinois or the state of Pennsylvania, but in the state of grace.
That's
and
right.
When you pray for others that are sick and suffering and dying, and as you know, it just, the numbers keep rising. I think over 700,000 people have died of COVID in the United States, several million worldwide. They need our prayers. In fact, in the diary, as you know, he tells Faustina, I haven't seen anything stressed so much in the diary as to pray the chaplet for the dying. He just repeats that over and over again to her, and how powerful that is. So I really line up that chaplet along with the rosary, the great Marian prayer, the great weapon.
That's right. That's right. So you've devoted a whole lot of your life to this cause or to this purpose, and there's I'm sure there's some listeners that have heard you when you've been on in the past, but for those that may be new, we hear Holy Souls, and especially I think it's a Catholic term in terms of our Holy Souls, as opposed to, our Protestant brothers and sisters, where, you're either in heaven, in hell, or on this planet. And we as Catholics believe that there's a potential layover for those of us that may not be quite ready for heaven, right?
Yes, it's a purification. In that day-by-day book, there's many quotes about, is a soul totally, God is all holy, he's all pure, he's all mighty, he's infinite, I can't get my head around it, but, bottom line, he's all holy, okay? And, how can we say, that your soul is perfectly lined up with God's will at the end of your life? you know, but that's why we have the sacraments. We have the apostolic pardon because, you know, after you go to confession and the guilt is removed, the stain is still there. And you have to work off that stain with, you know, with works of mercy and doing penance. And, you know, can we say that that soul is totally lined up with God's will? Now, you know, and there are people that do go directly to heaven, but from the saints, you know, and from that day-by-day book, from what I picked up from all the theologians and from the popes and the encyclicals, there is a purification process, the remnant of sin that's still left over. There's one way that it's totally removed, as you know, Ken, that temporal punishment, that stain that's still there after the guilt is removed and you haven't worked it off. There's one day that's given to us that all the stain is removed, and that's on Divine Mercy Sunday. When you go to confession and receive communion on that day, all stain is removed, and your soul is the way it was on the day of your baptism. But outside of that, you know, we have what you know, the doctrine of purgatory, where it's God's mercy, you know, and He allows us to be purified of the remnants of the selfishness of the attitudes that we carry with us. That if they're not totally purified throughout life through works of mercy, through suffering, then we have this masterpiece of God's mercy, which is purgatory.
Yeah, and you know it's a beautiful idea, but some people. And we were just talking about this in the last hour with Father McKay. You know, he mentioned he's got a hard time imagining that his loved ones are popping around in a frying pan in purgatory, having, you know, the last of the stuff literally burnt out of them. And there's a purification that needs to take place. But do we have an idea from Faustina or anyone else about how that purification takes place?
Yes, we do. And again, like I said, that book is very good, that because it's 365 days of quotes and passages, it's not the fire we know. What happens is once the soul leaves the body, the time of merit ends, and the soul, you know, stands before God, and it's the soul that realizes that it's not ready. To stand before God because of his purity, and so the soul turns around and the soul chooses to go to purgatory. The soul hurls itself to purgatory, and so there's no rebellion in purgatory. So what did they experience when they say, "I'm not ready"? And they know that God doesn't have to tell them. You have the light. You're given that light, you know, before Him, to know where you stand, and you don't have to wait until your judgment. You know where you stand now. You know deep down inside, we all know, well, there's this and that, you know, and sometimes we just like to ignore it. But so with the souls, they're, you know, everything is stripped away and they see where they stand, and what happens is they saw God. They saw the beatific vision. They saw His lovableness. They saw His goodness. They saw His majesty. They saw all the plans that God had for you, and where you said yes and where you said no. And they experienced this infinite love that God has for us, which is just rampant throughout the diary. And what happens is when they're unable to be with God, they suffer this loss. So purgatory is the loss of the sight of God, the loss of having seen Him and unable to be with Him. So there's a big hole in their heart, if you will. Mm-hmm. You know, when families separate with, like COVID, you know, you couldn't be with somebody that was dying. It's been horrible these almost 2 years. And so you're experiencing the loss that they experience, only they say it's worse than any suffering or illness on earth. So it's the pain of loss that they experience in purgatory, and they suffer this, like, spiritual fever. You know, they burn for love of God, and it's an interior burning for Him, and that's the main suffering.
And so while we're here on earth, we can do things like the indulgences that you mentioned on Divine Mercy Sunday, and there's others that'll come up.
We gain indulgences. Yeah. In fact, you can stop right there, Ken, because we have a great gift that was just announced. That you know, from November 1st to the 8th, we can apply our plenary indulgence to the souls in purgatory under the conditions of going to confession within 20 days, going to Mass, receiving communion, and going to the cemetery and saying prayers for the Pope, Apostles' Creed, Our Father, Hail Mary, Glory Be. And you can apply it to one soul or to all souls or to a family of souls. And that's the first 8 days. Well, as you know, if people don't know, the Vatican just announced that they've extended it for 30 days. 30 days. You can apply your indulgence. Now, what if you can't go for all kinds of reasons? You're sick, you're homebound, you can't drive. You can still do it, because it also says that even if you pray for them mentally and think of them, and here where I live, we still are dispensed from going to Sunday Mass. So if we watch Mass and say a spiritual communion and then do the prayers for, you know, for the Pope, it still applies, Ken, even if you only pray mentally and are unable to visit a cemetery. You can still apply the indulgence to a soul or the souls in purgatory.
Very good. And so we can do that, but the souls that are in purgatory, they're no longer able to gain indulgences there's nothing they can personally do for their own purification, right?
Exactly.
They're dependent on us, and they're dependent on God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Once the soul leaves the body, the soul, the time of merit ceases. So the soul is either paying a debt in purgatory, or is in heaven, or God forbid, is in hell. So yes, they are helpless. That's, that's one of the reasons why they're called poor, is because they're helpless. They're called poor because they can no longer, gain merit. They're poor because they don't know when they're going to be released, and they're poor because they lost the sight of God. That's what the word poor souls really actually means. And they're called holy because they can no longer sin.
Very good. So that's where this relationship comes in that you're so devoted to, that we pray for the holy souls, and then in response, they can eventually pray for us?
Well, not eventually. That's the one thing, and this is in the catechism, and people don't hear this, but hear it now. They can do one thing. They can intercede and pray for you while they're in purgatory, not when they're in heaven. While they're in purgatory and when they are in heaven, that's the one thing they can do, is intercede for you. And they intercede, their intercession can, let me tell you, because I pray to them, but there are a couple of things, happened in the family. We had COVID deaths, and, so I ran to them because I was praying for them. And the more you pray, this is in the Catechism 958, the more you pray for them, the more powerful their intercession is. You actually build up their intercessory power. So that's the one thing they can do while they're in purgatory. Even the guardian angel tells them who's praying for them. And in a very special way, what I noticed, Ken, in all the writings that I've done, and just a plethora of stories and saints, do you know what there was a pattern? Guess what the pattern was, Ken? The souls that appeared to Faustina, the souls that appeared to Padre Pio, the souls that appear to you or me are family. They appear to family. That's the first place they go to, is family. And with the religious, they go to their fellow religious that they lived with. The priest in purgatory, the brothers, when they went to Padre Pio, those that live with him. Faustina, the nuns that live with her, they went to her. We've had experiences, and I'm sure many of people have had experiences, where a family member came to you. That's who they go to first.
Hmm. Very good. So
that's just based on all the readings that I've had.
Yeah. And so when we are praying for the Holy Souls. Of course, we pray for our own family members. But is there a they would obviously be the ones that, that may come back and give us a sign.
Well, or, that comes from God. They have to. That's something that God allows or permits. You know, you can pray to God for a confirmation, and of course, many times, and in my own family, it has happened for sure that, you know, we had a brother that died, and it was so graphic. He appeared to my sister, and he was in purgatory, and he told her. The sign is he needed, for whatever reasons, her prayers. There are seven of us. He went to her. There was some reason why he specifically appeared to her. But yes, indeed, they come back, and they always come back, you know, if God allows, with something that has to do with only you and your family. Have, you know, maybe you have a, you know, there's cardinals in our family, and, you know, after we had a couple of deaths, we saw cardinals. It might be a rainbow, something that, you know, it was them, and it's very obvious. It's not a coincidence.
Yeah, no, we have the same thing with my mother-in-law and father-in-law that come back as cardinals.
There's something to that. The cardinals symbolize your deceased loved ones when they appear. I want to tell you something. When I was writing that book, Ken, that day by day was absolutely grueling, and I had to get it in before Easter. So I was working on during Holy Week, and it was grueling to find scripture passages that for 365 days to match each passage without replicating anything. That was a purgatory, let me tell you, because I'm not a scripture scholar. Yeah. And I live in a high rise, and there's no ledge outside my window except the air conditioner. And during that time, and I even called my editor, a cardinal landed somewhere. I couldn't even see it, and appeared and sang all day for 6 days until I finished, and then it disappeared, never again to come back.
Wow.
So, yeah, and people, I mean, I would love to do a show, you know, just to have people call in and share their experiences with the souls and their intercession. That would be wonderful, I think, to hear, because there's so many phenomenal stories that how they're so powerful. There's a devotion I'm doing right now, Ken, the stations, for 33 days in honor of our Lord's life for 33 days. I do the stations for the souls in purgatory and for a special favor. And I did it during winter, during COVID, because somebody got very, very sick. And I'm telling you, whew, they were so swift. And I love what Blessed Solanus Casey says, and it's so true, Ken. They hardly ever fail.
Wow. So this is a book that you're currently working on?
No. It's a day by day for the Holy Souls. It's been out since about 2016, I believe.
No, okay. I thought you meant you had a new one for the Stations of the Cross.
No, I have a Stations of the Cross book.
Okay.
Yeah, we have one, and I usually just do those 33 days, and you know, once a year in July. Well, because of so much happening and the sickness and our family and friends, I just said I've got to. And this is what's interesting. Usually when you do a novena or a devotion, you're praying to the saint. Well, this is double. You're not only praying to the Holy Souls, you're helping them, and they're interceding for you. So you got a double benefit. You know, they're helping, you're helping them. You know, with a saint, you're interceding, you know. I mean, you're petitioning. But with the souls, your prayers are actually impacting them, and it increases their intercessory power, and they in turn respond. And I'm telling you, they're swift. Not too often do I go to them. I like to help them. But, boy, during this time when we saw, you know, a cousin die, an aunt die, multiple people in our family picked up COVID, it was stressful. So I just went to them.
Very good. I know we're approaching the bottom of the hour. Were you... we need to let you go at 5:30.
We can keep going. I'm getting ready. Actually, I'll be honest with you. I'm getting ready tomorrow. I'm taping two shows with Jeanette Bankovic. So if you want to catch me on her show, I'll be on there November 11th and 12th. And you know what we're going to talk about, Ken? This has been on my heart for a long time, and I've never had time to get to it. But finally, with a break in between all these books, we're going to talk about the War Dead.
Wow.
Veterans Day.
Sure.
You know, we're going to talk about veterans.
Yeah, especially as we approach November 11th, right?
And, exactly. It literally, it's about that. And we're going to talk about the saints that had really very personal relationships with the soldiers. And there's three of them we're going to cover. Padre Pio and Blessed Pepchinski and who's the third? The Little Flower. And I'll give you I'll just share this with you because we're not going to be able to cover it on her show in total. But go to her official website. Just type in Little Flower's official website. And, Ken, the stories of the soldiers in France that she appeared to and what happened would knock your socks off. Oh, my gosh. I was just floored. So she had a very special relationship with the soldiers in France. She appeared to them. She appeared on the battlefield. And the stories were just so powerful. So I know we're not going to, because of, you know, time on television, but I recommend you go to her website and read up on some of these stories about these soldiers that she interceded for.
You know, I just had an odd but God moment. I actually was looking at who I'm having on next week, Father Dwight Longenecker. And he's actually, when I did a look for the book that we're going to talk about, I came across a book called Stronger Than Steel, Soldiers of the Great War, right to Thérèse Lejeune.
Oh.
There's actually a book out there about it. Anyway.
Oh, you're kidding.
No, and I just happened to come across that like an hour ago.
I just went on the site and my eyes bugged out. She's powerful. The saints are so powerful. In fact, the Litany of Saints, I read somewhere, it is to pray the Litany of Saints because you're asking all of them to intercede. You know, call on the whole team, you know. So they're there to help us. They're there to intercede for us. And, of course, the souls, are holy. And I just target your market with the souls, We've had some eye issues in our family. So you know what I did? I prayed for the doctors, eye doctors that are in purgatory. And I just said, look, I'll help you. You help us, okay? I'll make a deal with you. But they are so, so powerful. And I just love sharing that with people because sometimes we lose hope, but they're there to help us.
Yeah. You know what? You said that, and I've got a sister that's been battling some autoimmune things for years now. And as soon as I get in the car to go home, I'm going to call her and say she needs to pray for the immunologists that are in purgatory.
Exactly.
You know,
I'm
great
curious.
Idea. Yeah, I got you.
You need a good lawyer? Then, help out the lawyers that are in purgatory.
Are there any?
I've done this a couple of times where, again, we had so many, we had like five deaths, during this time, during the spring. It was just, and I, one was just shocked to us. And so I just said, look, you need to take care of that baby. There was a baby that was born and the father died suddenly. I says, I'll take care of you, but you make sure that baby is taken care of. Now, my niece is a single mother now. And so I expect that from them, but it's going to happen because I helped them. And when you help them, it increases their intercessory power. The more you help them. So it's a win-win.
Very good. We are at the bottom of the hour. So I can hold you over for a few minutes?
Yeah, go. Sure, sure,
okay.
Sure. I mean, my voice is so sore. I'm just so sore from speaking so much. So just bear with me because I've got a raspy voice because of all the shows I've been doing right now. But anyway, yes.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Very good. For our listeners, don't go away. We'll be right back with Susan Tassone.
My name is Mario Diadamo, and I have been a faithful listener to In His Sign Radio Ministry since 1990, and to Kathleen McCarthy as principal host since 2007. Hearing the witness of Kathleen and her guests has contributed greatly to my spiritual growth. They have educated me about the tenets of my Catholic faith by presenting lay and religious leaders discuss topics that help listeners create an informed Catholic conscience. I always encourage people who are in need of prayer and companionship to listen, call in, and become part of our radio listener family by joining thousands of other people praying for your intentions. I personally can attest to the power of the prayers from the ministry. Kathleen often reminds her listeners that you are never alone because the Lord is always with us. Through this Catholic radio and internet apostolate, the Lord is indeed with us in a very tangible way. Please share the good news as Kathleen takes a leap of faith and expanding to a two-hour program to reach many more people who need to experience the love of God. Thank you.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906. Or visit our website at inhissign.com.
And welcome back to What the World Needs Now. Your host, Ken Johnston. And again, I want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners and thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign, both your prayerful and financial support that's kept us on the air for some 40 years now. I'm blessed today to be joined by Susan Tassone. We try to get Susan on every year in the month of November because of all that she's done in her writing and in her own life and in her spiritual life for the souls, the holy souls in purgatory. And, of course, this being the month of November, we have an opportunity to once again be reminded to pray for those souls. Hopefully we do it year-round, but sometimes those prayers don't always continue, and this is a good reminder to pray for those that are in purgatory, and like we're saying in the first segment, that those same souls can pray for us in return. One of the things that I've taken up in the last year, and when we talked last November, Susan, we talked about Gregorian Masses.
Oh yes,
and
yes.
I had never heard of them, and now I have a few friends that listened, and I've had an opportunity a couple of times over the last year to. For some people that were special in my life, and that not themselves that passed, but their family members that had passed, and if you get a few friends, they're not always inexpensive, but if you get a few friends together, you can you certainly pitch in and purchase these masses, and maybe you could explain for our listeners.
Yes, and by doing it as a group, Ken, you're also getting the grace of the intercession of that soul. Right. When you participate. So I never say no to participating for a set of Gregorian Masses for someone. Put them in your will. There are 30 Masses in a row for a deceased soul, not a couple, not a family, not for someone that's living, for a deceased soul. And they were popularized by Pope St. Gregory. He had 30 masses offered for one of his monks, Justice. And after the 30 masses were offered in his monastery, and Ken, that altar is still there today where the original masses were offered. In fact, I have a picture of that beautiful marble altar with reliefs on the front of the altar showing Pope St. Gregory offering masses, showing the soul of Justice, you know, coming out of purgatory. So it's in my Prayers, Promises, and Devotions book. It's just wonderful to have that, to be able to get that. So he offered the 30 masses, and on the 30th mass, when the 30th mass was complete, Justice the monk appeared to his blood brother. His blood brother's name was Copiosus, and Copiosus was a doctor, and Copiosus actually took care of Justice during his last illness. And so after those 30 masses were complete, he appeared to him and told him he was released from purgatory, and he went to tell the monks, and Justice also appeared to Pope St. Gregory. So Pope St. Gregory knew, and of course it became very popular to have masses offered, and priests would come to this altar, and then of course it was they were able to do it, you know, anywhere around the world. But so the fact of the matter is, what's so special about 30? Why isn't it 31? Because there's 31. Sometimes some months are 31 days in a month. You know, why isn't it 40? Why did he say 30? Well, 30 is actually back to the Old Testament, is when Moses and Aaron and Jacob mourned their dead for 30 days. So he was bringing back that tradition from the Old Testament. And of course, as you know, when a pope dies, a bishop dies, you'll see this bunting, this draping in front of the church, and you know, and it's up for 30 days. You pray for, you mourn, mourning. In fact, mourning in the days of the Old Testament meant giving food to the poor, doing works of charity, giving alms. That's what mourning actually meant. So for us, you know, I'm not, you know, that's a good point. How do we mourn? That's a good way to mourn, is to do good, you know, and acts of mercy, and to pray for that soul, obviously, you know, and get Gregorian masses said. So where do they go? Well, we can't do them here in the United States because there's a shortage of priests, which we have to pray for vocations, and they're not able to, you know, to do them because of that, because they have to be consecutive. So they go to our Catholic missionaries around the world, and I love promoting the Pious Union of St. Joseph. He would be a wonderful guest to have during this last month of the year of St. Joseph. They go to the missionaries, and they're able to do them because they have no mass stipends. And the reason is the people are so poor, Ken, that when they do, you know, baptize one of their family members, or they, you know, perform a wedding or bury someone, the people give them chicken, peas, and potatoes out of their harvest. That's how they thank them. So they really don't have any mass stipends, you know. And what does that mass stipend do for them, for missionary? You know, I mean, I worked in the missions office, so I got to sit with these bishops from all over the world telling me how their poor priests have sometimes offer mass with a coconut because they don't have a chalice. They don't have money to put gas in the Jeep to go up to the mountain to offer mass for people sometimes that only hear mass once a year. And the stipends also pay for their books to study to become a priest. And, you know, when you have, you know, you offer a stipend for a priest, what you get, you know, from a seminarian, when you do that, you get a priest for 40 years. So that's what happens with your mass stipends that go to the missions. And you have to be very careful where you send them. Again, because I worked in the missions for 6 years, I worked for Cardinal George. So I sat with them, and I, you know, and things do happen, and you can't just say this. You have to really know the organization. So I'm very comfortable with the Pious Union because they get said, they are sent out, and they're acknowledged, and you know, I know that. I've worked with them for many years, so be careful where it goes. But so that's the story of Gregorian Masses, and they're very powerful. Now, the 30 Masses he was released from purgatory, that's the question. Does a soul get released after the 30th day? The Church recognizes this as a pious practice to do, but they don't say it's a guarantee. What they do point to is the efficacy and the power of the Mass, because that's what's the most powerful thing the soul needs. I call them the pillars. They need the Mass. Whether you have a Mass offered or whether you attend a Mass, offer your communion or your indulgence, they need the Mass. Alongside the Mass, the Rosary, and then the Stations, and then Adoration. Why those? Because of the indulgences that are attached to them that you can offer to the souls in purgatory.
Yeah, and I just want to emphasize the idea of putting it in your will, too. I've had at least one circumstance over the last year where somebody who was a devout Catholic but their kids weren't, and you know, decided that they didn't even need to have a funeral Mass.
And yes.
And so to put these things in your will, to arrange for them ahead of time, to make sure that your wishes are explicitly known, not just to have the Gregorian Masses said, but you know, you can even go so far as, you know, putting the readings and hymns that you want, but make sure that your loved ones know how important it is that you know, that you have that funeral Mass, and then in addition to get those Gregorian Masses.
Absolutely, because there's been a downward trend on funeral Masses.
Yeah.
Because of what you're saying. So you really have to, as we used to say in the corporate world, the monkey's on your back. You know, in fact, when I worked for Cardinal George, he told me, he said, they're in my will, Susan. He had multiple. In fact, you know what he would do, Ken, and I can say this now because he's passed on, but, you know, he would write out checks for $5,000 at a crack for deceased priests. Because those are the most abandoned souls, are the priests and consecrated religious, because we tend to canonize everybody. We say they suffered enough that they're in heaven. I see it and hear it all the time. And we can't say that we don't know if their soul is perfectly lined up with God's will. We're not the judge. Yes, I've seen my family suffer and die. And we gave them the sacraments, but did they get over the wall? I don't know. So we do Masses. Now, let's say they did go straight to heaven. That's not wasted either, Ken, because St. Thomas Aquinas calls it accidental glory. If a soul is already in heaven and you're praying for them and offering Masses, what happens to that soul? We'll usually hear, well, another soul will get the prayers. Well, it's much bigger than that. Aquinas calls it accidental glory. That soul, if is already in heaven, gets two things. It gets an increase in its intimacy with God, and it gets an increase in its intercessory power. So the lesson is, never stop praying for your dead.
Amen. I don't think we've got that from you before, and if we did, I didn't recall that. But that's, you know, one more reason to, you know, continuously pray for the dead. And one of those things that I think maybe even be unique to the Catholic Church. I think, you know, our Protestant brothers and sisters, you're either there or you're not. There's no in between.
They're the most abandoned souls, Ken. So don't forget, when you're applying your indulgences, go to the non-Catholic cemeteries and help those other souls out.
Very good. So you would include them amongst the most abandoned as well, huh?
There's three groups: the consecrated priests, religious, and those non-believers that don't believe in the doctrine of purgatory, and even in our own family, you know, where some people don't believe it. But those are your most abandoned.
Very good.
Because no one prays for them. You know, and we talked about this during, you know, before we got on the air, and I'm just going to touch on it, but hopefully you'll be able to do this. On December 8th, Ken, on EWTN Live, I just helped to arrange to get the rector and his assistant to come to EWTN. They're flying them in from Paris, and it's in one of my books, the World Center Prayer for the Dead in Mont Lyon, France. And that center is dedicated to praying for the deceased. It's a magnificent basilica. I wrote about it in Praying with the Saints for the Holy Souls, And they contacted me to come to France. I'm like, well, not today. But I said, why don't you come here? You know, and E.W. Chan took a great interest. If you actually go online right now, National Catholic Register, they just interviewed the rector of the Shrine. It's a fantastic article. I hope you're able. She's willing to come on the air, but this is the point. And I just did. I enrolled myself because what they have is a fraternity where you can enroll yourself. It's individual enrollments. There's no families, and you're being remembered in their masses year round and after your death permanently. And you know, I didn't pass that up. So that's available. You can go. Actually, you can go to spiritdaily.com. They just did a whole article about it, and then you can go to National Catholic Register. They did a even more extensive article about the Shrine. But sign up, enroll yourself for those masses. You know, we're in these these times that are so, what's the word? We don't know from one day to the next what's going to happen. And I don't know when we talked last, Ken, but I don't, tell me, I don't want to repeat myself, but, you know, we had a dear aunt, there were eight of them, we had seven aunts, and we had six aunts and two uncles, and she was the last remaining aunt, and she caught COVID. Tell me if I said this,
I don't want to repeat this.
So they called me because they needed a priest, and this was somewhere in rural Iowa, and of course, again, you know, people are not prepared. So, and you have family members that don't practice, but they knew who to call. There's always somebody in the family where you go to, you know, when you need the prayers and the priest. So they, you know, I feel like it's, you know, purgatory headquarters, you know, get your exit papers here. Well, so I had to find a priest. And what I discovered was that you have to be a COVID priest. You have to be approved by the diocese to be able to go out to the facility, you're not guaranteed one. And that's what I experienced. But thanks be to God, we had a priest was able to do it, and he drove 3 hours to get to my aunt, gave her the last sacraments, and she died that evening. What's the lesson? Don't wait, you know. Go to confession, you know, once a month. The church recommends, the catechism tells you. Keep your, you know, have your soul in order. Stay in the state of grace, because with their shortage of priests, it just was an eye-opener. And then we had a cousin. This all happened this spring. We had 5 deaths all back-to-back, and I was trying to get one priest here, one priest there, and it was very difficult because of COVID. Be prepared. Have your soul in order. Have these things in order, because you just don't know when.
Just to circle back, the organization in France, the name of it again was?
The World Center Prayer for the Dead. Okay. World Center Prayer for the Dead. If you just type in National Catholic Register and go to their homepage, you just scroll down and you'll see mournful prayers, a mournful way of praying for the dead. And there's this whole article about that organization. You could also go to Spirit Daily and hit Spirit Daily, and it says a shrine that prays for those in purgatory. On the left column, and that'll take you to the article. And he interviewed Martine, and it was, and of course the information's there too in the website. But enroll yourself. I was awed by what they do, and the masses that they say, and the vespers and the adoration, and then a couple of days a week they pray for deceased priests. And it was, how were they founded? The story's in my book, Father Bouguet. To cut to the chase, he had a brother that was a bell ringer for a church, and the bell killed him, fell from the steeple and killed him, and that's what did it. He was so bothered by what happened to his soul, and he prayed, and it just moved him to want to pray for those that are dying, that die suddenly, and the thing grew, and he has I don't have the story in front of me, but go to the website and read about it at Spirit Daily, or go to National Catholic Register, but sign up. You know, I think it's I forget what they request a donation, but it's worth it. You want to be covered in prayer. You know, look at what's going on. You know, we were out without going here in Chicago. We couldn't get to confession for 88 days. from March until June. That's frightening. So keep things in order and help your family members move along where you can to get everyone. And it's Christmas time. You know, make your duty. There's an Easter duty, but there's a Christmas duty too. So and apply your indulgence to the souls in purgatory on Christmas Day, because that's when most souls are released from purgatory, is on Christmas, and then Easter, and then our Lord's feast days, All Souls days, All Souls. But the biggest release is Christmas Day. So we've only just begun for them. And I think I better go, because I've got to get ready for EWTN.
No, I understand, and I appreciate the extra time, Susan. It's always great to have you on. I learn something every time you're with us, and I look forward to having you on again in the future.
Yes, and it's always a joy. We have so much. We have this treasure of grace. They're handing us paradise. Divine mercy, the stations, the indulgences, our novena, the sacraments, the Mass. My goodness, we have such a rich faith and rich devotions and intercessors and the souls. What more could you ask for?
Amen. Susan, thank you so much.
And it's always a pleasure, Ken, and have a good month of the souls.
You do the same, and we'll look for you on EWTN. God bless you.
God bless you. Take care. Bye now.
Bye-bye. So that was Susan Tassone, Tassone. She probably rattled off about a dozen different books that she's authored over the years, most devoted to, in one way or another, to the Holy Souls in Purgatory. And when you have her on, you know it's going to be a ball of energy. Sometimes she gets on a roll, but the information is great, and I learn something new from her every time we have her on. I mentioned when she was on that I had not heard of the Gregorian Masses until we had her on a couple of years ago, and what a gift it is to be able to offer them to people. And in a couple of instances, the individuals had no idea what they were, and when you explain it to them, how grateful they are. And I think I mentioned this story in the past, but I think it's worth repeating. I worked at a large university in Center City back in the first half of the 1990s, and a guy that I worked for, one of the nicest guys you'd ever meet, always had a big smile on his face, and not Catholic, but his mother passed, and I was trying to think of what I could do, and as a Catholic, the normal thing to do when, somebody we know has a loved one that passes is we buy a Mass card. And so that's what I did. I didn't bother me whether that he was Catholic or not, or she was Catholic or not. And I'll never forget the look on his face when he opened it up and read the card. And he teared up. And again, not Catholic, but the idea that he knew that somebody was going to be praying for his mother was such a consolation in his grief. And I think sometimes because we're Catholic, we've been doing this for a lot of years, that sometimes we don't. Sometimes I don't always appreciate what it actually is that we're doing, and to take a step back and think about it, that it's not just so we have something to place on the table when we go to the funeral or the viewing. It's something that's very important, and highly encourage you to have those Masses said, and to have them said for the dead, to have them said for the living. I think it might be Saint John Vianney, but I may have it wrong, that that one Mass for the living is worth 1,000 Masses for the dead. And when was the last time you requested a Mass said for your own intentions? And I've been, blessed over the years with my relationship with Father McKay every once in a while to have a private Mass and know that and have Mass offered for me or a family member or an intention. And so we do that. And again, I can't emphasize enough, and I think sometimes, we think that, the people in our life know how important our faith is to us, and that we would never dream that they wouldn't have a funeral for us. but we need to be specific and let them know. And especially if you're counting on people that are away from the faith, away from the church to take care of you, they're not going to know everything that needs to be arranged. And whether it's the readings that you want, the hymns you want sung, who do you want to do the singing, or what musicians do you want? Is there a particular priest or priests that you want notified to make sure they're there to assist at the Mass? And, you know, some of the greatest Masses I've been to have been funeral Masses, because they're well thought out and just a beautiful send-off for that holy soul. And kind of had that this past Monday, you know, over at St. Luke's. You know, unfortunately, I think the younger you are, the fuller the church. And, you know, Billy wasn't a kid. He was 56. But so many friends and family that showed up, and the thought that went into that funeral and who was there. You know, we had a bishop from now Worcester, Massachusetts, originally from Rhode Island, a couple of priests from Rhode Island, along with our own pastor, Father Joe Brandt. The family that came down, they had a eulogist, his friend from Rhode Island that did a eulogy, and his friend from Glenside that did a eulogy. And just what a great send-off it was for Billy. But these things need to be thought out, and if you can't trust it to somebody, you may just have to do it yourself. Again, I want to thank everybody for being with us for whatever part of the 2 hours you could join us today. We are here Monday through Friday from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. on 800 a.m. and over our website at inhissign.com. A little behind on getting some of the shows loaded up on our content page. We'll try to get that caught up over the weekend. Things hopefully will slow down for me a little bit. I don't think Father McKay's too long from coming back to the office. I've been trying to hold down the fort while he was gone, and what a blessing that's been. And I just want to, you know, finish with this, that, you know, it took me 59 years, I think, to figure out what God really wanted me to do. And it's not that I was late in getting to it. It just took that kind of time to figure it out. And, you know, I love young people who were able to figure out, you know, what they're called to be, and the joy that they have in their life because they find it when they're young, and you know, really make a go of it in their younger years. And it just didn't work out that way for me, but God had been preparing me for, you know, 59 years to do what I'm doing today, and prior to that, you know, 50 some years in order to get ready to do this radio work. And so God wants to do something in your life, and the joy comes when you figure that out and then actually do it. So if you're away from the church, if you're struggling to figure out what God's calling you to do, highly suggest that you make regular attendance at Mass, get in front of that Blessed Sacrament, ask God what it is that he wants you to do, and then give you the courage to carry it out. And he will do it. He will do it. If he could do it for a schlep like me, he can do it for anybody. So, again, I want to thank all of you for being with me for whatever part of the 2 hours you could be with us today. Joe, once again, I know your days are winding down. Hopefully, I ask our listeners to keep Patrick in prayer. The sooner Patrick can get here and learn the job, the sooner Joe can move on to his aspirations and what have you. So I ask you to continue to keep Patrick in your prayers, Father McKay, until he's completely healed. Especially our friend Cindy Pyle, who's still on that ventilator as a result of COVID. So I look forward to being with you again next week. And until then, I pray that God will hold you in the palm of his hand. Until then, take care and God bless.